Harmony Baptist Church, providing a message of hope to the hopeless.
Matthew 25, I had worked on a message today called The Midnight Cry, and there are seven midnights in the Bible, and Holy Spirit just won't let me preach all seven this morning, so we're going to concentrate on one in particular, and that is Matthew chapter 25. We'll try to get the rest of them in at a later time. If you have your Bible, say amen.
Amen.
Notice Matthew chapter 25. Here we find, if you have a red letter edition of the Bible, which I believe all the words are Christ's words. Brother Rodney's got a red letter. And the two pages here that we've got open is just about all red. And so these are the words of Christ, they tell me. Brother Chip's got a red letter, and Brother Sister Tina's got a red letter. But here, if you'll notice, in chapter 25 of the Gospel of Matthew, the Lord Jesus has been instructing his disciples about the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Now, don't let those two phrases trouble you. Let me explain these to you. In Matthew's Gospel, the Lord Jesus is teaching us about the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. If you have a piece of paper somewhere and a pencil, you could do this so that you could understand it a little bit better. But if you would take and draw a circle on a piece of paper, and out beside of that big circle, if you would label it the kingdom of heaven. Jesus taught many parables about the kingdom of heaven. The parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It comes from the Greek word parabola, which means to cast alongside of. And so the Lord used stories and lessons, object lessons, to teach so people could identify with what he was talking about. Here in Matthew, you find there are two phrases that are used. One is the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. So if you have that piece of paper and you draw a big circle on there and label that the kingdom of heaven, then inside of that big circle, you draw a smaller circle and you label that the kingdom of God. Now you say, what is the difference? The kingdom of heaven encompasses, it takes in both saved and lost people. You see, in this congregation this morning, I am sure, I cannot look in your heart. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I am not one that can determine a person's salvation. The Bible does say, by their fruits you shall know them. But only you and God know whether or not you are saved on your way to heaven. It is not a hope so or think so or a maybe so. It is, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm saved. If you cannot say that this morning, then by all means, you need to make sure that you're saved. You need to ask Christ to come into your life and save you, take you to heaven when you die. You do not know the day or the hour. No man knows the day or the hour. But the Bible says there is appointed unto men a day of death. There is death knocking on your door. Jeremiah said, death has come up into our windows. It's seeking out its next victim. Little did that man know yesterday when he went down to Bush Hog, his field, as Brother Eddie was telling me just a few minutes ago, that would be his day of death. But through a tragic accident, the tractor ran over him. And I'm just not trying to be too graphic, but Brother Eddie was just telling me, severed his legs and the man bled to death out there in the field. Little did he know yesterday morning would be his day of death. You do not know when your day of death, but it is coming. It is coming. It is coming. So the kingdom of God takes in saved and lost. What I was about to say is this, sitting in my this congregation this morning, I am just about 100% certain that there is somebody, at least one person here, that is not saved. I don't know who you are, but I believe the Holy Spirit does. I believe he's knocking on your door this morning. He's giving you an opportunity. And here in Matthew's Gospel, The Lord Jesus is illustrating saved and lost people in the same church, in the same country, in the same city, in the same countryside. They live together, husbands and wives and children and families and grandparents. They're all together, but some are saved and some are lost. Kingdom of God, that smaller circle, is only the saved people. Only the children of God. Only those that have been washed in the blood of Christ. Now here is what the Bible tells us. Is that the saved and lost work together, live together, come to church together. But when that judgment time comes, when that judgment day approaches, only the saved are going to heaven. The lost. My friend, listen to me. If you're lost without God this morning, you don't get a second chance. When you breathe your last breath, when the life ebbs out of your body, when they walk in and say that you're clinically dead, when they cannot resuscitate, when you die, there is no second chance. Look at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. Jesus said, "And the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. He's given us a story here. 10 virgins. And he said, which took their lamps. Now, I want you to understand as we go through here. Get a visual picture. These are 10 women. And they all are dressed alike. They all have on a virgin's attire. And they all have a lamp. And they all have a wick in the lamp. I'll show you that. And you got to think back to Grandpa's day when they had those old kerosene lamps. You still got them, yeah. I got 2 out in the shed just in case power goes off. But if y'all remember back in that day, if you ever had a kerosene lamp or lantern, they would trim the wicks, wouldn't they? You would take a pair of scissors or a sharp knife and you'd cut off the part that had been burned and then you would relight that. But there was something that you needed in that lamp for it to burn. What was that? You needed oil, didn't you? Kerosene, fuel oil. You needed some type of accelerant for it to burn. So let's look at the story this morning. So they took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. They were expecting the bridegroom to return. They didn't know when, but they were expecting him to come. How many of you, by a show of hands, would say this morning, "Preacher, I believe that the Lord is coming back again." Everyone, if you believe that, raise your hand. If you don't believe that, honey, you need to believe it. Amen? Amen. Everything is not going to continue just like it is today. The Lord is coming back. Jesus is returning. You say, how do you know? There's more prophecies that relate to his second coming than it did to his first coming. And if he came the first time, how many of you believe he came the first time? Say amen. Amen. If he came the first time, he's coming the second time.
Yes, amen.
Verse 2. Here's the difference in these 10 virgins. And the Bible says, and 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. That did not mean mental aptitude. That did not mean that 5 were smarter than the other 5. That did not mean that 5 had gone to Bible college or seminary training. It simply meant that they were wise when it came to the things of God. Read on. But the wise, verse 3, they that were foolish took their lamps and took, y'all read this with me if you got a King James, and took what?
Oil.
Now, honey, I want to ask you a question. When this Hurricane Florence just came through, I don't know how y'all prepared. I got my generator out. I got my lanterns out. I got the candles out. I got the batteries out. My daughter called and said, "Daddy, you got any extra flashlights?" I always have flashlights. I like flashlights. I took her some flashlights. I got my water, I got my milk, I got my bread, I was ready. Got my generator, fired it up, make sure that it was ready. Okay? Y'all with me so far? If you know that there is danger, you need to prepare. And here, the virgins, five of them, were wise enough. They took oil. They were prepared for when they needed to light the lamp. But five of them didn't. They put it off. They said, Brother Darrell, there'll be another chance. Why go down the food line? Why go down yonder to the service station? Why go ahead? Hey, you know what I did, Miss Bonnie? I went by the service station, and before, when they were starting to talk about this hurricane, I went ahead and bought 10 gallons of high-test premium non-ethanol gasoline for my generator. Because why? I want to keep my refrigerator running. Amen? Wasn't worried about the air conditioning. I want to keep the refrigerator running. I prepared. Hear me out. If you know by show of hand Jesus is coming, you better prepare. He could come before 12 o'clock. He could come before tonight. He could come before tomorrow. But one thing is for certain, if you live long enough, you're going to die. So you better prepare. You say, I got an insurance policy. I got a burial plot. I got a grave picked out. I got a casket. I've been down to the funeral home, signed over my life insurance policy. I got all that taken care of. Honey, that's great. That's wonderful. So your family don't have to do it. But friend, if you hadn't prepared for eternity, you're a fool. Read on. See, the Lord wouldn't let me preach all seven of these because y'all be here till midnight. Amen. Verse 5, yeah, we got spaghetti, don't we? Verse 4, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And, read this with me, everybody, and at what? There was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now, let me just, y'all look this way just a second. Let me explain this Jewish wedding ceremony. Now, by the way, this is not teaching polygamy. Don't get that. No, sir. One husband, one wife. Say amen right there. Yeah. It's not teaching polygamy. What he is teaching, though, is this five wise and five foolish virgins. Now, in a regular Jewish wedding ceremony, then the bride and the prospective bridegroom, they would go through a betrothal period. And it would be like what we call an engagement period, but it was more severe. I mean, it was more demanding. That's why when Mary was found out to be with child, Joseph was going to write a bill of divorce but put her away because he figured she done been with somebody else and he wasn't going to marry her. But they had never come together physically. In this betrothal period, sometimes it would last a year or longer. And what he was doing, the bridegroom, he was back in his father's house. He was preparing a place for when they got married, he'd have a place for his wife and him to live. What did Jesus say in John 14? I go to prepare what? Place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Amen. Amen. What's Jesus doing right now? He's preparing a place for the bride. Amen. We are the bride of Christ. Amen. We're the bride. He's coming back to get us one of these days. Read on. Hang on. And so at midnight, there was a cry made. When they would have this wedding, oftentimes when the bridegroom would come to get his bride, he'd come at nighttime and the lights were out. They didn't have they didn't have electric lights, and they didn't have all the modern conveniences, so they'd carry a torch, and he'd have some male attendants come along with him, and one of them male attendants, he'd holler, "Hey, get out of the way! The bridegroom's coming! He's coming to get his bride!" By the way, Thessalonians says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. The Lord's got some male attendants coming. Michael's one of them. Amen. Read on. Midnight there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. All those virgins, all of them got up. Every last one of them, all 10 of them got up. And look in verse 7. Y'all with me? What'd they do? And they did what? They cut the wick off. They trimmed it. But now watch what happens. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Y'all see that? They lit the lamp, but it didn't have enough oil in it. It was enough on the wick that it burned for just a little bit, and then it went out. I'm going to tell you what that means in just a few minutes. Hang with me. And so they looked over and they said, hey, y'all, could you spare some oil? We need some oil. 10W-40 will be fine. 5W-20, have you got any oil? And the wise said, no, we can't give you none of our oil. Y'all that study your Bible, what does oil represent in the Bible? There you go, Holy Spirit of God. Can you give somebody your Holy Spirit? No, no. You can't give anybody else. How many of you, if you're saved by the good grace of God, you know the Holy Spirit of God dwells inside of your heart. You feel Him. You know He's there. He pinches you every now and then. Tears run out your eyes. Amen. Amen. All right, watch it. Verse 9. But the wise answered, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Question, what time of day is this? Brother Darrell, what time of day is this? Midnight. Midnight. I'm sure it was worse in Bible times than it is now, but it's hard to find anything open at midnight unless it's a Walmart. And I don't think they had Walmarts back then. They might have a 7-Eleven every now and then that's open around midnight. I remember one night, Brother Craig, I can't remember now, I vaguely remember. Anyhow, the car was sitting on empty. My wife had planned to get gas the next day, and we had to go to the hospital that night, and the light had already come on. It said low fuel, and I was praying, God, help me get down the pantry, way down on 87, down at Gibsonville. I was figuring how many miles and how much gas. And son, I believe that Ford just drove on fumes the rest of the way. But we made it there in the middle of the night. What am I saying? There ain't a whole lot open at midnight. Are you with me? And so here they were commanded, go out and find somebody that's got oil. Honey, I want to tell you something. If you miss getting saved, you may never have another chance to get saved. The church ain't always going to be here. The door ain't always going to be open. The preacher ain't always going to be available. You better get saved while you can get saved, while you got a right mind, while you got feeling in your body, while you can speak. You better get saved while you can get saved. Read on. Verse 10, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they were ready, went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterwards came unto the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open the door. You know what that reminds me of? Noah's day. When the floods of water started coming up, those people didn't believe Noah. They didn't believe him until the water started coming. And my friend, it wasn't some little drizzly rain. It was a huge deluge of water. Water came from, the Bible said, from beneath, and it came from above. This earth literally split open. Water gushed up from beneath, and water came down from above. It was a tremendous surge of water. And the people, I believe, if they could get to that ark, they were hammering, and they were getting on the side of it, and they were saying, Noah, Noah, open. We believe you now, Noah. And Noah said, I can't open the door. God shut it, and I can't open. Are y'all listening? There's coming a day that when the Lord comes back, if you're left behind, you ain't going to have a chance, honey. Oh, preacher, I just take my chances. You ain't going to have a chance. If the Lord comes and we're out of here, Holy Ghost is removed, the church is out of here. Oh, listen to me. You ain't going to have a chance when that time comes. Read on. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and the door was shut. And afterwards they came, Lord, Lord, open us. And he answered, verily, verily, I say unto you. Y'all read this with me. Can y'all read it aloud? Come on. I what? I didn't know you and forget you. I never knew you. I never met you. I never had an encounter with you. You never called upon me as Lord during your lifetime. Now let's go look at this morning. And I'm preaching on the midnight of departure. There's seven midnights in the Bible. I'll preach these later. The midnight of darkness, midnight of deliverance, but right now, midnight of disappearance. Notice in these verses here. You find that Jesus said, look in verse 1 of chapter 25, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto 10 virgins. There are several parables of the kingdom of heaven. There's a parable of the wheat and tares. There's a parable of the net. There's a parable of the marriage supper. There's a parable of the sheep and the goats. There are several parables that have to do with the kingdom of heaven. Now, in each one of these parables, you find saved and lost people. I believe there's saved and lost people sitting here this morning. I believe there's saved and lost people listening to me. I believe there's saved and lost people that will hear this message. They're saved and lost people all over this planet. Many of them are in a church house this morning. And many of them will be left behind when the bridegroom comes. They'll go, the saved will go out, but the lost will be left to go through the most horrible time this world has ever seen, the time of the great tribulation period. Watch something here. Here in Matthew 25, we've got 10 virgins. If you looked at them, they all looked alike. They all had on the same virgin dress. I don't know, maybe they're the same color, I don't know. But they all looked alike. If you saw them walking down the street, you'd say, hey, there goes one of those virgins. They look like a virgin. They act like a virgin. They talk like a virgin. They hang around other virgins. But the only difference is, five were wise and five were foolish. Notice about these virgins this morning. Not only did they look alike. Boy, I wish I'd brought a lamp with me. But they all had a lamp. They all had a lamp. And they all had a wick in the lamp. Now let me illustrate that this morning. And so they all looked alike. They all walked alike. They all associated with other virgins. And they all had a lamp. Hear me out. That lamp is a symbol of their talent. You see, I have met people before that have been in churches, that have sang in a choir, that have taught a Sunday school class, that have preached a message. I have met people before that have been able to stand up and even give a testimony, and they are lost as a goose. They look like a Christian. They walk like a Christian. They act like a Christian. They hang around other Christians. But what the bottom line is, the difference is there is no oil inside the lamp. They made a profession somewhere. They walked an aisle somewhere. Under pressure somewhere. Somebody had them to pray the sinner's prayer, and they're no more saved as your dog is. Hear me out. You can go through this life and you can fool a lot of people. You can fool your family. You can fool the preacher. You can fool the deacons. You can fool everybody around you, sitting beside of you. You can fool your wife, but one you'll never fool, and that's God Almighty. He knows if you're saved or lost. Right here this morning, there's probably some of you sitting in this building this morning that need to check up. You say, why is that, preacher? Because here's the thing. If you got the oil inside of you this morning, you're going to act different. You're going to walk different. You're going to talk different. You're going to love the things of God. You're going to want to be in church. You're going to want to read your Bible. You're going to want to do the things of God. But my friend, if you don't have any oil, you're not saved. The oil is the power of the Holy Ghost of God. Do you have the oil this morning? The day you got saved, what happened? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I want to tell y'all something. Nobody had to beg or pry or plead for me to get up out of bed this morning. Amen. Nobody had to call me up and say, are you coming to church today? Nobody had to pressure me to be in the house of God. But my friend, let me tell you something. If you're here today because your wife told you to get up and get ready, if you're here today because your husband put pressure on you, you might want to just check up and see whether or not you got the oil today. If you got the oil, you want to be in the house of God. Now watch what happens. These 10 virgins, they got up when they heard the bridegrooms are coming. And they got up and they trimmed that wick off their lamp. They cut off the burnt place. And they tried to light it. Now watch what the Bible said right there in Matthew 25. Even those that were foolish, it burned for a little bit and went out. You know why? There was enough oil in the wick that it burned for just a little bit, but it didn't last. And you know what? I've been at this thing long enough. I've seen some genuine, real, Bible-believing, blood-washed Christians. They have endured the storm. They've gone through the fire when things didn't turn out right. They're still in the house of God. They're still worshiping God. They're still not turned their back on God. But I've met some, they're sky bottle Christians. I mean, they'll be a big splash and they'll get saved. And then about 3 weeks later, you can't find them. And you look for them, you go to the grocery store, and their face is on the back of the milk carton. Have you seen this person? Hello? You call them up on the phone. I mean, I'm talking about folks that made profession of faith since I've been here. Try to call them up on the phone. They won't answer your phone call. You send them a text message. They won't respond to that. You try your best to contact them. And some of them, sometimes they will. Sometimes they won't. And then preacher, you know, we got this going on. And Aunt Susie's big toe was swelled up, and I had to stay home. And the whole family had to stay home and doctor on it today. Amen. And, we had that big old family reunion, and, you know, we didn't want that fried chicken to go to waste, so we all went down there, and I'm sorry we missed, but we'll see you next week. And next week comes. And, well, you know, we couldn't make it this week because we were down at the beach. And then next week comes. Well, we couldn't make it this week. We was up at the mountains. And, you know, pretty sure, just don't worry about us. We're okay. We're just fine. Hey, I got news for you, honey. If you ain't got enough oil in your lamp to keep your wick burning, then is it going to be enough on the day of judgment? Is it going to be enough when God comes back? Is it going to be enough that when the Holy Ghost of God is removed out of this earth, are you going to be left behind as these five foolish virgins? When the bridegroom came, they were left. Sad. Sad to sit in a Baptist church. Sad to sit in a church where the gospel is preached. Sad to sit in a place and hear the singing of the songs of Zion and die and go to hell and burn forever. But friend, that's the truth of the matter. There's going to be people wake up in hell that'll say, oh, but Lord, Lord, haven't we prophesied in thy name? Haven't we taught a Sunday school class? Haven't we done many wonderful works? What he'll say? Here's what he's going to say. Bring the books. We got a minute here.
turn over to Revelation. We're going to be done in just a second. Somebody might have said, I wish you'd have been done a long time ago. This is one of those other nights, but I ain't got time to look in Revelation 20. Revelation 20, verse 11. This is the midnight. This is the midnight of the Christ deniers. Revelation 20, verse 11. Look what John records here. He said, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no more place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great." No matter if you're Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, don't matter what you are, don't matter what race you are, don't matter what nationality you are, doesn't matter anything about who you are, small and great, kings, potentates, priests, don't matter who you are. The dead, small and great, stand before God. And notice what he said. And the books are open. I believe there's two books in heaven. I believe there is a book of life, and then there is the Lamb's book of life. Y'all hear me? I believe on that judgment day, there are two books. The book of life records every last living person that's ever been born. By the way, all them 600 million babies that's been aborted, I believe they're in heaven. Say amen.
Amen.
At the moment of conception, I believe that fetus, whatever you want to call it, is a child. It's a living being. Say amen.
Amen.
I believe they're in heaven today. There's a book of life, but then there is a Lamb's book of life. The book of life records every last person that's ever been born from the days of Adam all the way down. It's a big book. But God's got a book in heaven. It's got your name in it. It's got Troy Franklin Thacker Jr., July the 27th, 1955, Annie Penn Hospital, Reidsville, North Carolina. I came to this world. It's got the book of life. It's got your name in it. Every last person that's ever been born. But then there is the Lamb's book of life. My name's in the Lamb's book of life. For the day that when I got saved in 1967, God wrote in the Lamb's book of life, Troy Franklin Thacker Jr. accepted me as his Savior. Hey, honey, I want to ask you something. The Bible said the books are going to be opened. There's a book of life, records every last person ever been born in this world, but the Lamb's book of life is your name written in the Lamb's book of life. Is your name inscribed in the Lamb's book of life? By the way, God doesn't have an eraser on his pencil. Hallelujah. He's never going to remove your name out of the Lamb's book of life.
Amen.
Revelation 20, though, the books are open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books according to their work. Well, preacher, if that's what you're saying, then that means that the murderers and the sorcerers and all them that follow Wiccan, all those witches and warlocks and all that crowd, they're going to get a more severe punishment. No. You know what you're going to be judged for? I believe this, my friend, to him much is given, much shall be required. The more light that you're given, the more you're responsible for. You are now more responsible this Sunday than you were last Sunday. Why? Because you're listening to this message. And if you reject this message and die lost, your punishment will be greater than the man that never, ever heard God's message. The Bible said, and they were judged according to their works.
How much light have you received? How many times have you trampled under your feet the blood of Jesus? How many times have you got up in a church service, walked out the door, and said, I'll never be back. I'm not listening to that anymore. Honey, your punishment will be greater than the man that dies without Christ that's never heard. And the sea gave of the dead which are in it death, and hell delivered the dead which are in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. Stop right there. Let me explain this to you. When you commit a crime, if you commit a crime, and the police come out and arrest you, where do they take you? Take you to jail. Are you incarcerated? Are you behind bars? Are you locked up to where you can't go anywhere? Okay. Now, when that trial date comes and they come down there and they shackle you and they bring you up to the courtroom and you got an orange jumpsuit on and you're standing there before the judge and your court date is set, and then you come and sit down in the courtroom and they stand up and there's a prosecutor and there's a defense attorney. And they stand up and they put the allegations out there and the jury finds you guilty. And the judge has you to stand, face the jury. Then he says, I sentence you to 25 years in prison. It used to be 25 years of hard labor, but they can't do that no more. But it's 20, let's say 25 years in prison. Question, is jail and prison the same thing? No, it's not, is it? Jail is temporary. Those people are waiting to go before the judge, to hear their sentence, to hear what he is going to tell them. And then he's going to say, you're guilty. You go off to prison and spend 25, 30, 50, or the rest of your life in prison. Are they locked up in prison? Are they locked up in jail? Is it the same? No, it's not the same. And this is what God is telling us right here. Hear me out. I'm done. Ladies, y'all come to the music, to the piano and organ, just real quick. Hear me out. Listen to me right now. Why, if you're already in hell, why, and by the way, the people in hell are suffering today. They're crying for a drink of water today. They in hell today cannot get out. So why bring them out of hell and stand before God? And then be cast in a lake of fire. I'll tell you why. Look in that verse. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. Death claims the body. Hell claims the soul. Body and soul will be reunited together. And both will be cast or hurled into the lake of fire. Not a pretty picture, is it? But some of you may end up there. I have preached funerals before of people that I know died lost. I preached funerals before of people that they thought they'd have another opportunity. I preached a funeral before and the casket was about as long as that communion table of a little 11, 12-year-old boy, youngest one I've ever had to preach a funeral for. Thank God he got saved. I cut his hair. He used to come to our church on a bus route. 11, 12-year-old boy in Burlington. Stood up one day in the school classroom and said, teacher, my heart hurts. And the kids began to make fun of him. Around that time was some old rock song that said, heart attack. I think it was Michael Jackson, I don't know. Anyhow, the boy killed over, dead, right there in the classroom. I preached this funeral. Hey, listen, friend. You don't have to be old to die, but you better be prepared. I preach some people's funeral. They well up in age. I preach some that unprepared to die. What do you say? All I can say is for a funeral is for those that's listening, those that's living. I can't do anything about that person in the casket. They've already made that choice. How about you this morning? Are you wise? Are you foolish? Have you taken the oil
having rejected him, every head bowed, every eye closed.